So we're talking a little bit more about joy. We began last week talking about the fact that really most everything that this church does bubbles up out of joy. So if you're not familiar with Bethel or you're somewhat new to Bethel, I will just tell you that the motivation for just about everything we do here comes out of joy. And last week we heard when Nehemiah, the city administrator, really the governor of Israel, talked to the people after they had rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. He told them when they were set, he says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And it's ours too. I mean, if you spend any time here, you know that there is this joy that undergirds who we are. And it is like a fountain, like a reservoir of water with a fountain. And there are five channels in which we express our joy, or there are five different ways in which we funnel the joy that we have collectively as a church. But here's the secret of joy that I did not talk about last week, is the more we share the joy that we have of the Lord with each other, it comes back to us. Now, last week I talked a little bit about hospitality. The more that we warmly greet one another and smile, 99% of the time, it is going to be returned to us, and boom, just like that, we have doubled the joy in the room when we extend ourselves. And I read somewhere that, like, when you smile, you burn like 3 calories. So not only is it fun, but you're losing weight while you do it. So, right? Smile a lot, you know, just, there you go. So there's nothing wrong with that. But how we treat people matters. It really does. If you remember last week, if you weren't here, you can go listen online. But last week I talked about the TV theme show of Cheers, where the theme song is, "A place where troubles are all the same, a place where everybody knows your name." And it's a great theme song. But I had this verified and really kind of an amen to this week at Synod Assembly. Because the president of PSR, Pacific School of Religion up in Berkeley, not a Lutheran seminary, but the president is Lutheran of that seminary, he had us sing that during his keynote address. And I thought, been there, done that, you know. You're like a week behind, Mr. President, you know. But it was like an amen, like, aha, we're on to something here. And yes, later in the sermon, there's another TV theme show song for you. So if you are TV buffs, you just stay awake, okay? Stay awake. We'll get there. But here's the thing. It's once that we move as a church, so collectively, we move out of the place of greeting and welcoming all people into this sanctuary and onto our church campus, there's a deeper level connection beyond just kind of warmly greeting one another. And that, of course, is Christ-centered community. And for a lot of you, I know your faces, a lot of you have been here long enough that you might have forgotten that this doesn't come naturally, Christ-centered community. You might have been here long enough that you've forgotten that at one point in your faith journey, you walked into this church for the first time and really didn't know very many people, maybe one person, maybe nobody, but you walked in and you actually had to get to know someone. And during that time, Bethel members, maybe gone now, welcomed you. They provided hospitality. You liked it. You're like, hey, this isn't bad. I find some joy in how nice the people are here. So you kept coming back and back again, and you became like the proverbial bad penny. You just kept turning up. Don't worry. We're all bad pennies. We are. Something about coming to church reminds us that we don't find value in ourselves. And we went looking for it somewhere, and a lot of us ended up here at Bethel, where we found and heard about the love of God and found that we have value as children of God, but it doesn't come from within us. It comes from God. So we're all bad pennies. It's okay. what we forget if we've been here long enough, what we forget is that something drew us here and kept us here. And there's something within that, and it is that Christ-centered community. So yes, we were welcome, but it doesn't end there. That's not the end of the journey. It's just the beginning. We found community. We didn't join a club or an association or an organization. We returned because not only were people probably nice to us, but there was something about being here and hanging out with a bunch of people who are committed to this crazy idea that a guy named Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, was actually the Son of God. Go figure. And by that title, we're actually saying, crazy, that Jesus is God. More than that, as we spent some time in church, we found out that this group of people not only believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the ergo God, that Jesus did amazing things as we read the story of Jesus. He treated people with love. He had tender compassion for folks. He was kind. But the people didn't like it, and they accused him of being a felon. He was given the death penalty, and he died a convicted criminal. That's right. You here are people who follow the teachings of a convicted criminal. Can you imagine that? That's wild. It's kind of scandalous. Yeah, I follow a criminal. Yeah. He was convicted of blasphemy and treason. I mean, treason's one of the highest crimes in any country. He was convicted of that, and they killed him for that. And I'm just going to say, last Wednesday night, in our first Wednesday speaker series, we had someone here from the Santa Clara University Justice Project. And I think it occurs to me that we should care about justice in people being wrongly convicted of crimes they didn't commit because Jesus was wrongly convicted of a crime. So therefore, we should care about those who are being treated unjustly in our own criminal justice system. But the story didn't end there with this person named Jesus. We also believe that after they killed him and convicted him of a capital offense, he came back after 3 days to let people know that hate, death, and injustice can't keep a good man down, let alone God Almighty. So out of this man's life came the church, a group of people committed to following in his footsteps, doing good stuff for people in need, doing life together, we're right here, and the promise of God's Holy Spirit that can change our lives if we just surrender to it. That's what Christ-centered community is. And that there is joy, and there should be joy in being together and doing life together as we worship this guy named Jesus who is still alive today. Now, this really breaks down into two relationships, mind you. The one we have with Christ himself and the relationship that we should try and foster with one another. Now, that's easier if you've been here a long time. It's harder if you're newer or trying to kind of make your way into this community. But you can't have one without the other. I mean, if we only focus on our relationship with Jesus, we neglect the people around us. And there is strength in numbers. But that's usually not the problem. The problem or the struggle is that we tend to focus more on the people around us. And Jesus kind of becomes second place. But to be able to maximize who we are as a Christ-centered community, we must focus on both relationships, not only the ones around us, but also to Christ himself, not a choice of one or the other. And so that is why we worship. That's why we're here this morning, so that we can relate to each other after and before service. But here in this moment, to focus on Jesus. Now, if I probably asked each and every one of you, what was your definition of worship, I probably would have as many definitions of worship as there are people in the room. But I want to clarify a little bit. Worship is not the songs we sing. Worship is not the prayers we pray. Worship is not the offering we take or the amount of offering we give. Worship is not which version of the Lord's Prayer you like. Worship is not the bits and pieces and this and that within what we do in this hour. Those are acts or expressions of worship, but it's not actual worship. Let's go back to Noah Webster of Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 edition, mind you. And this is what he says worship is. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. And as much as I love the hymns of 845 and the songs that we sing at this service, you can't do extravagant love and extreme submission externally. That all comes from the inside. Nothing we do that you see or hear can do that. The only way we can do that is if it comes from within our hearts and our minds. See, worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. So worship is expressed here, but it originates from the heart and mind. Now, on Sunday morning, this is the reminder that God is the most important thing in our lives. But it's not the songs we sing. It's not the prayers we pray. It's not even the specific scripture readings we have. Worship comes from inside each and every one of us. Because you could go to church your entire life. You could come to every Sunday morning service for your entire life and never worship. It's possible. Because it's something that happens inside of us. But what we do here at both services is we do things to facilitate your worship of Jesus. Now, we know that you can worship God at anywhere or at any time. But in this hour, it's different. Because worship is just like concentrated orange juice. Yep, I've said it. It's just like concentrated orange juice. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. I don't know what's going on here. See, when I was a kid, that's all we had was concentrated. Yeah, people who could buy carton orange juice had money. We had to go to the frozen section to buy orange juice. And we had to buy it in these containers, these little cans, and then you'd take it home, and you'd let it sit on the counter to thaw a little bit, and then you'd add water, you shake it up, and then you had orange juice for the week. Right? Are we there? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I think you can still get some of this stuff. Not tip-top so much, but here's the thing. Worship is like concentrated orange juice because, yes, you can worship anywhere at any time, but the worries of life and the day-to-day busyness waters things down. That's why we need Sunday morning at full strength. It's concentrated. It's not diluted. We can leave our troubles out there so that we can concentrate on our love and devotion and our connection with God in this moment. But not only that, but we can bring our troubles here and lay them upon God, who listens and he cares. And just for the record, Five Alive was my favorite drink growing up. Now, I had some Tang fans at first service, and I did like grape Tang. Yeah. You know, astronauts drank that. You know that? Okay, that's good. So I also realized that Five Alive isn't actually orange juice. It's flavored citrus beverage. So go figure, you know. But here's the amazing thing about worship. Is that we're not worshiping some unknowable, all-powerful God. It is Jesus who comes to us in the flesh and says, I'm your friend. I'm as close as a whisper. Jesus at the Last Supper says this to his disciples. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Jesus is like, I don't have any secret agenda. I've told you everything that I know, and I've told you everything that the Father's told me. So you're not a servant, you are a friend of mine. I mean, what this means is this, is that if we were in a crowd of people and Jesus showed up, he would come and seek us out to say hi. He'd be like kind of parting the waves and like finding you because you're his friend. Which, of course, reminds me of a TV theme song, Clayton. And today, you're going to help me out with this. So this is the TV theme song that I was thinking about. I love having a house band. I love having a house band. So those of you who are TV fans, can you name the show? Golden Girls. There we go. Right? Boom. Golden Girls. So when I hear those lyrics, right? Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. If you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. And when I hear those lyrics, I think to myself that as we sing that to Jesus, he's singing that right back to us. The one who gave us the biggest gift ever, to tell us that love wins and that when our journey comes to an end on this life, there's a greater expedition beyond. Wow. But it doesn't end with just our worship with Jesus. It is our connection with one another, our fellowship, that once we get past welcoming each other, we get to know people. We get to get let in on the good and the bad, that there is a fellowship among us that reminds me that I will never be alone, not be just because Jesus tells me I'll never be alone, but because I know that all of you will be here as well. That's a gift. And it's not just for me, but for one another as well. I've seen how you've responded to those who are struggling and those who are celebrating, that we are there through thick and thin. And that's a sacred trust, mind you. Because in our life, what are we taught from an early age? We're taught to keep everything in, and when someone says, hey, how are you doing? We all say, fine, we're fine, even when it's not. That it's not acceptable in public conversation at business or in other places to say things aren't okie-dokie. Which reminds me, that was first coined with the Little Rascals and our gang. And what's that story about? About kids sticking together through thick and thin. And even girls and boys, black and white, and then the dog too, right? I mean, like, what an example of friends sticking together. But somewhere in our lives, we were taught that you keep things to yourself, you keep it inside, you don't share with people. But here in the church, we are allowed and encouraged to share the struggles and also to share the joys. And that is the gift of the church, to have the joy of the Lord not only in good times, but in tough times too. So here's how I end. Thank you for being a friend. Amen.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's out.